It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello? I can't hear myself.
Hello?
Something is wrong. Settings. Recording. Input.
Hello. Can you hear me? There we go. That's unfortunate. I had to launch PAVU, Pulse Audio Volume Control, to up my microphone. That hasn't happened before. Sorry about that. I just updated my kernel last night and updated the software. Let's go ahead and double check and make sure we're broadcasting the correct location today. Hey, what do you know? We are. Well, welcome. It is news to me. It's December 23rd, the day before Christmas in 2020. So I want to thank you very much for tuning in. We're just going to go ahead here and log into COM. You just type COM once you log into SDF, hit enter, and you'll be in COM. That's the chat program that we use around here. And then all you got to do, boom, type G for go to, and on radio, all lowercase, all together, hit enter. You are in the room. Look at that. I'm typing it right now. And on radio, hit enter. Howdy. Boom. And there we are. And we get to say hi and hang out with people like Zeptar and Localbox, Tobe, and all the other cool people. Speaking of which, the Dubious Goals Committee happens at 1930 UTC. So after this show, stick around, we'll have Tobe on. So I've got tons of stories today. So we're going to try and run through them. Oh, howdy, Bob Junkman and X1. Thanks so much for being here. And yeah, if you're listening to this in the future, too bad you weren't here for the original show. You could have gotten a shout out. All right, let's get going. Let's start up the blender.
World news.
That's what the news blender sounds like. Kind of like that Masters of the Universe key. All right, boom. Let's get going. First up, UK. The Guardian's reporting that a Brexit trade deal is expected within hours. Agreement on a post-Brexit trade deal appears likely to be announced within hours after 9 months of tortuous negotiations. A meeting of EU ambassadors has been penciled in for Christmas Eve to start the ratification process. Sources in Brussels and London confirmed they believe the talks were coming to a successful conclusion. Diplomats representing the EU member states are already combing through some of the 2,000 pages of legal text that have been agreed. The European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen is understood to have been in constant contact with Boris Johnson in the last 72 hours as she sought to strike a compromise satisfactory to Downing Street and the EU member states. Given the many twists and turns in the Brexit negotiations, the possibility of a last-minute hitch remains, but a final call is believed to be scheduled for Wednesday evening, one senior EU source told The Guardian. The stars have aligned. Hey, welcome, Jazzmaz. this is pretty exciting because a hard Brexit or a no-deal Brexit was very much expected. So hope is alive. We'll see how it goes. Of course, Reuters is also reporting they're in their final stages, but there's no official confirmation from either side. So we'll see how that goes. Of course, the UK isn't all sunshine, of course, because France and the UK have some issues. Specifically, the channel was closed for 48 hours after that new coronavirus strain was discovered and found to be spreading like wildfire in the UK, or in London at least. So, in Britain. So, furious truckers trying to reach France clash with police over COVID-19 testing chaos. So this is coming to us from France 24, also known as AFP. Furious truck drivers stranded at the English port of Dover scuffled with police as Britain sought to get cross-channel traffic moving after a partial blockade by France to contain a highly infectious COVID variant. So after turning parts of southern England into a vast truck parking lot by closing the border to incoming freight, France opened its border Wednesdays to truckers who have a negative COVID-19 test that is less than 72 hours old. But on the ground at the port of Dover, for centuries, one of the main arteries for trade with the rest of Europe, there was little sign of any tests or much other support for stranded drivers. Yeah, come on, talk about a missed opportunity here. They talk about some COVID tests, but there are no COVID tests. Blaise Pankiewicz. This looks like a Polish name or something. I can't say it. Do, 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 do. Boom, boom, boom. All right. So that's his name. That's kind of what's happening there. So there's a bunch of magic going on there. So we'll see how that rolls out, what happens, but we'll see what happens. Like I said, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. It's just really sad. They're going to be missing Christmas, and huge queues of trucks remain stacked on motorways toward the tunnel and on roads to Dover, while others have been parked up at the former nearby airport at Manston. X1. Good point. The guys who smuggled those truckloads of poor Vietnamese immigrants who died in the back of a truck, they were recently sentenced to prison time. I didn't cover the story because it was kind of big news. I figured everyone would have seen it. But yeah, it's pretty wild. Human trafficking is really sad, and it's something that happens all over the world. So yeah, it's kind of a bummer. Tempers were beginning to flare among drivers, many from Eastern Europe who didn't speak English and are angry they're not able to go home to their families before Christmas. Some drivers clashed with police and sounded their horns in protest. Many have been eating through their last provisions on the side of the road while their families gather for Christmas thousands of miles away. Police said there have been disturbances in Dover and Manston involving individuals hoping to cross the channel, and one arrest has been made. So, we'll see what happens, but it's really, really rough. Reuters is reporting that truck drivers stranded at the port scuffled with police, and they have a video that's about 2 minutes long showing a large line of police and truckers just yelling and shouting and trying to push through. It's quite a sight. If you want to look around and check out these photos and imagery. The Road Haulage Association, which estimated there were 10,000 trucks being held up in Kent, said it was chaotic. The border's still closed, the testing regime isn't happening, you've got truckers very angry, and we're starting to see a breakdown in law and order in a small way among very frustrated guys who want to get back by Christmas. Normally between 7,500 and 8,500 trucks travel via the port every day, but the volumes have reached more than 10,000 recently. So, we'll see what happens, but this is going to be... the next couple of days, yeah, you can get some popcorn if you want, because there is going to be a lot of heat right there at that in Dover and right there at the border with France. So, good luck. I hope somebody brings them some food or a Christmas meal at least. Sorry. I had to do it. It might've been kind of a dad joke, but their fresh meal is not going to come from the UK though. 'Cause guess who's stranded? The truckers. What do the trucks do? Oh, they bring fresh food to the UK. Al Jazeera is reporting that UK's fresh food supply is at risk until Dover backlog is cleared. British supplies of some fresh food, mainly fruits and vegetables, are at a risk of running out until a backlog of trucks at the port of Dover is cleared and links with France return to normal. The United Kingdom retail industry said on Wednesday. A partial blockade by France to try and contain a new highly infectious coronavirus variant has left thousands of trucks stranded. So, like we were talking about, the drivers are pissed off, and now they might run out of fruit and vegetables in the UK. UK Minister Grant Shapps said the military would start testing drivers, but that it would take time to clear the backlog, hammering Britain's most important trade route for food days before it leaves the European Union's orbit. It's good news for consumers as the French borders have now reopened. However, it is essential that lorries get moving across the border as quickly as possible, said Andrew Opie, director of food and sustainability at the British Retail Consortium, which represents more than 170 major retailers, including the big supermarkets. So it's very scary indeed. Good luck. Hopefully everyone at least has their Christmas dinner. Hey, and big shout out to Localbox. Thanks for tuning in and welcome back. So let's keep on a rolling. We're about 10 minutes in and about, I don't know, 15 or 20% of the way through. So I say we're right about on track with where we've been going before. I'm going to go ahead here. I've got a Guayaki Yerba Mate tea today. My Chinese tea is still slowly making its way on a boat from China. I will learn my lesson. I've learned my lesson, and there is a different vendor that on payday I'll order my Chinese tea from them. So good luck. Anyway, let's keep on going. We got lots of world news to pour out.
World news.
A little bit. All right, here we go. In France, the Guardian's reporting France shooting suspect found dead after three police officers killed. So what happened here? A man suspected of killing three gendarmes who were responding to a domestic violence incident in the Puy-de-Dôme region of central France has been found dead, the French Interior Minister has said. Tonight, the gendarmerie, I don't know how to say this, it's kind of like the Irish police, they have a special name, the Garda, I think, the Garda, but I don't know how to say this, gendarmerie. Gendarmerie. It looks like gendarmerie to me. Anyway, tonight the gendarmerie has lost three of its own. Gerald Darmanin tweeted, "The nation bows before their courage and devotion." He added that the body of the presumed killer had been found and that he was on his way to the scene. Three officers aged 21, 37, and 45 were shot dead when a heavily armed man opened fire on them as they tried to rescue a woman in a house in a remote hamlet near the village of Saint-Just, south of Clermont-Ferrand, the ministry said. Hey, exiled. Hello, hello. Welcome. So, that's happening in France. Of course, Belarus is still in the news. The United States on Wednesday expanded sanctions on Belarus, targeting four entities and 40 individuals over their roles in a disputed presidential election and the government's subsequent crackdown on protesters. This is kind of funny, and I thought it was interesting, because in the U.S., this is what... Donald Trump had really hoped would happen, it seems like, is he did the same thing. The opposition person won, then he said no they didn't, and then like Russia didn't come and help him enforce it, so guess what? Now he looks like a crazy person. But yeah, it's a pretty similar situation. Just Trump didn't have anybody to back him up, even though he is still anyway, it's great. He has gone off his rocker. Definitely watch for the next months. Our the president of the U.S. is pretty mad. It's great. Okay, so Belarus has 9.5 million people, and Russia seizes security buffer against NATO and has been hit by repeated mass protests after the August 9th vote that veteran President Alexander Lukashenko said he won. His opponents say the vote was rigged and have been demanding his resignation. More than 30,000 people have been detained in Belarus since the start of the protests in August. So we shall see what happens there. But, ooh, baby, what a wild ride it's going to be. Speaking of Russia, Moscow city councilor is given a suspended 2-year sentence over protests. Yulia Galamina, a Moscow city councilor and critic of the Kremlin, was given a 2-year suspended jail term on Wednesday after being found guilty of repeatedly violating rules for organizing opposition protests. Galamina, who took part in an opposition campaign against constitutional reforms this year that could allow President Putin to remain in power until 2036, had dismissed the charge as politically motivated. Russian authorities opened the case against Galamina in July, accusing her of having repeatedly violated the rules for organizing and staging protests. Galamina, who was greeted by cheers and claps from her supporters outside the courthouse, tweeted that she would appeal against her conviction and sentence. Prosecution had asked the court to jail her for 3 years. Although she avoided prison time, the conviction bars her from running for office in next year's parliamentary election and also means she loses her city councilor status, according to Dmitry Gudkov, an opposition politician. So, interesting to see. It's like active suppression doesn't necessarily mean you have to throw all your people that you don't like into prison. You just gotta, like, give them felonies or give them different convictions so they're ineligible for whatever they're doing. Oh boy, man, time has gotten away from me. It is already 1915 UTC, and that means we're about halfway done, 15 minutes before the Dubious Goals Committee happens, and I've still got a bunch, maybe 10 stories to go through, but we got to take a break because I get wound up. We got to listen to some music because I got this guy.
Get the news over with. Get the news over with. I want to hear that. I want to hear the
music.
I hear
this guy in my head every time when I'm starting to talk.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I just hear this guy. So I'm like, oh, man. So let's play a song real quick, and then we'll wrap up the world news and jump into a couple of domestic stories. We'll be a little quicker, a little snappier, though. Boom, 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 boom. All right. So this is Do You Believe in Magic by The Loving Spoonful. Lovin' Spoonful.
Do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart? How the music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic if the music is groovy and makes you feel happy like an old-time movie. I'll tell you about the magic and the free your soul, but it's like trying to tell a stranger about a rock and roll. Don't bother to choose if it's jug band music or rhythm and blues. Just go and listen. It'll start with a smile that won't wipe off your face, no matter how hard you try. Your feet start tapping and you can't seem to find how you got there. So just blow your mind.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Yes, we are back. It is December 23rd, 2020. Let's pick up. We'll go ahead and pick up the pace a little bit, but we'll run through it as quick as we can. First up, sad news. An Irish minister has tested positive. Ministers in Ireland are self-isolating and awaiting test results after a minister tested positive. Charlie McConnellogue displayed no symptoms, but is self-isolating, his spokesman told the Irish Times. And that's his name in com. It's McConnellogue. So I'm not sure how to say that. He received his test results several hours after attending a cabinet meeting. The agricultural minister has been in Brussels on government business over the last few days and was tested on his return. So, shall be very interesting to see. I did want to mention here that two cases of another more transmissible variant of coronavirus have been detected in the UK. Both people had traveled to South Africa, where the variant is linked to a surge in cases, with travel restrictions now imposed on the country. So, be careful out there. Stay home. This new variant is traveling around. So be careful. So, some not COVID news. Take your mind off of it. Don't worry, it's still sad. The Central African Republic's fourth largest town, which was seized by rebels on Tuesday ahead of elections this weekend, is in the hands of United Nations peacekeepers and national security forces, the UN said. What? Which one? It's Central African Republic. The situation in Bambari is under control. Abdulaziz Fall, spokesman for the UN peacekeeping mission, told a press conference in the car capital Bangui on Wednesday. The civilians are starting to return. The armed groups have been pushed back into the bush. The attack followed government accusations at the weekend that ex-president Francois Bozizé was plotting a coup with armed groups ahead of presidential and legislative elections next Sunday. At the car's request, Russia and Rwanda have sent hundreds of military personnel to support the troubled country. The government says an account confirmed by those countries. Bambari is located 380 kilometers or 240 miles northeast of Bangui. Members of a militia called Unity for Peace in Central Africa overran the town on Tuesday after a two-hour firefight with MINUSCA, sources said. Its mayor said on Tuesday civilians had not been attacked, but the police station, gendarmerie, and some homes had been ransacked. Huh, they use that same term as the French do. Well, France did colonize a lot of that spot. Anyway, the UN is doing its job and helping keep the peace during elections. No, it's not more lethal. It's not more, as far as all the reports I've seen, this new more infectious strain isn't more lethal. It just spreads much, much easier. So, yeah, it's like, I don't know. I used to play this pandemic game. I think it was called Pandemic. But yeah, that was one of the problems, is if you made your disease too lethal, people would die before they could spread it. So, so anyway, so now the virus is more infectious, but it's not more deadly. But it's still horrible. We had that story yesterday about a woman who lost her hands and feet. So, any disease that could make me lose my hands and feet, I'm avoiding as much as I can. All right. So Reuters is reporting Mexico is going to start COVID vaccinations as virus stretches hospitals. President Manuel López Obrador said on Wednesday vaccinations will begin at hospitals in Mexico City and the northern city of Saltillo, speaking before the first Pfizer vaccines were flown into the capital from Belgium. It's true that we still face a tremendous pandemic, but today is the beginning of the end, Foreign Minister Marcelo Ebrard told a news conference at the Mexico City airport. He did not specify how many doses arrived in the first batch, amid Mexican media reports that it only contained 3,000. His ministry did not immediately respond to requests for comment. López Obrador said he would press for the vaccine to be used in additional areas as officials seek to reach workers at nearly 1,000 hospitals treating coronavirus patients nationwide. Doses. Doses. Millions of doses. So, we'll see. Good luck, Mexico. Hopefully we can get this spread all over the world. So, we'll see what happens. Talking about, let's jump over to Hong Kong. Remember Jimmy Lai? He got thrown into prison. He's the guy that runs the newspaper. Well, a Hong Kong court granted 10 million Hong Kong dollars or 1.3 million U.S. bail on Wednesday to media tycoon Jimmy Lai, the highest profile pro-democracy activist charged under the new national security law on suspicion of colluding with foreign forces. An immediate appeal by the prosecution was then denied on the same day. Lai is one of the financial hub's most ardent critics of Beijing, while his Next Media Group is considered one of the key remaining bastions of media freedom. He was arrested in August when about 200 police raided the newsroom. Lai, 73, who's been in custody since December 3rd, is also charged with fraud related to the lease of a building that houses Apple Daily. The security law punishes what Beijing broadly defines as secession, subversion, terrorism, and collusion with foreign forces with up to life in jail. Has been condemned by the West and human rights groups as a tool to crush dissent in the semi-autonomous Chinese-ruled city. I also learned about another semi-autonomous region, Macau, which is just south across the river from Hong Kong. And that's the topic of our next story. Macau gambles on tech for its COVID-19 recovery. The territory has been badly affected by travel bans because its economy is heavily reliant on gambling. I had no clue. Next June, the city plans to host Beyond, a technology event loosely modeled after the massive CES trade show. That's like Charlie Echo Sierra trade show in Las Vegas. The event would also showcase Macau as an alternative to Hong Kong as a gateway to China. However, the date of the tech trade show could be pushed back to October if COVID-19 isn't under control in time. Macau has a very good infrastructure with entertainment and hotels suitable for doing an event, said Jason Ho, the son of Macau chief executive Ho Lat Sing. Mr. Ho had sought a number of Chinese participants, including TikTok parent ByteDance, drone giant DJI, Delta Juliet India, and SenseTime, as well as firms in Japan and South Korea. But we know our limitations and we need to partner up with different cities in the Greater Bay Area, he told Reuters, who first reported the story. So we could see Macau will be the new Las Vegas for a lot of stuff, or at least as we globalize and stop centering around the U.S. so much. So. See what happens. Oh boy, we've only got a little under, we've got like 4 minutes and 40 seconds to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. I want to be sure and mention it because it is every day at 1930 UTC. Get your daily dose of Tope. Calm is like in the way I say doses, I don't know. Or just the idea of doses, I'm not sure. Anyway, let's keep going. We'll go until the wheels fall off or the timer runs out and we hear the music. So, one last international story. Iraqis have reacted with outrage to Donald Trump's move to pardon four security guards from the security firm Blackwater, who were jailed for a 2007 massacre that sparked an outcry over the use of mercenaries in war. The headline is, "Our blood is cheaper than water, Iraqis' anger over Trump pardons." The four men were part of a security convoy that fired on civilians at a central Baghdad roundabout, killing 14 people, including a 9-year-old child, and wounding many more. The four guards, Paul Slow, Evan Liberty, Dustin Hurd, and Nicholas Slatton, opened fire indiscriminately with machine guns, grenade launchers, and a sniper on a crowd of unarmed people at a roundabout. The killings were one of the lowest points of the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, and many Iraqis saw the convictions as a rare occasion where U.S. citizens had been held to account for atrocities committed during the aftermath. So, Trump has no right to decide on behalf of victims' families to pardon these criminals, said Dr. Haidar al-Barzanji, an Iraqi researcher and academic. It's at odds with human rights and against the law. In Iraqi law, they can only be pardoned if the families of the victims pardon them. I encourage the families of the victims to request a complaint against Trump when the Biden administration starts. So, it's very, very, very sad. I found it interesting because he's pardoning lots of people and being really kind of weird about it. He's just being a madman lately. But this in particular I thought was interesting because these guys are, these guys were blatant war criminals. And if you want pictures of these guys, just go to the AP. They also have a similar story over these guys. Let's just run through some headlines since we're pretty much out of time. Greece is arming up. They've bought 18 French Rafale jets in a $3 billion deal. Turkey has sentenced exiled journalist Can Dündar to 27 years in jail. Even though he doesn't live there, even though he's not in Turkey, he's been sentenced. So if he ever goes back or goes to an extradition place, he'll get there. And Twitter, this is a tech news thing.
It's time for tech news.
Twitter is going to wipe Trump's followers before Biden handover. So Twitter has confirmed that the official U.S. presidential accounts will be wiped of their millions of followers before being transferred to the Biden administration. Mr. Biden's team fought the plan, but the social media giant said its decision was unequivocal. The move marks a reversal from the last transition. Twitter agreed to Donald Trump's request in 2016 to inherit Barack Obama's millions of followers. In 2016, the Trump administration absorbed all of Obama's Twitter followers on the POTUS and White House accounts. In 2020, Twitter has informed us that right now, the Biden administration will have to start from zero. Facts saw followers of government-led accounts such as POTUS and FLOTUS, all of which will be transferred to Mr. Biden when he takes the office in January. So look out for that. Resubscribe if you need to. And let's see. Dr. Deborah Birx, who's the lead, one of the members of the task force, top public health official in the White House coronavirus task force, has said she'll retire after it emerged she hosted a holiday gathering. Doesn't really surprise anyone on the Trump task force. She was really surprised that people were mad at her for holding a holiday party during a pandemic. Really, really wild. And we're less than a minute away. Let's see. Oh, armed fascists stormed Oregon State Capitol, but they were right-wing, so nobody's doing anything or charging them with crimes. And police in the U.S. have killed two different men in high-profile ways. A black man, age 71, was held naked at gunpoint by police in South Carolina. And, oh, we're out of time, but just know police also killed a guy in Ohio. Two of them this week, so
well, that
don't worry,
means
we'll keep
that
up the body
time's
count.
Coming
yes,
to an end.
It's awful.
Thanks anyway. For listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. At 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Aw, yeah. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, and then I'll probably have a pre-recorded show on Christmas. But thanks a lot for tuning in. Stick around for Tobe.